What a beautiful day this is. Woke up this morning, looked out, saw the new snow on the ground, and it just seems to bring an attitude for me anyway of calmness and quiet, and it certainly it brings beauty to the scene. We're so happy that all of you could come here today. All of our visitors that are with us today, we welcome you to this house, and we pray, Father, for them and their families. I think we can acknowledge on this day that the Lord is quickly upon us. And what does the Lord want us to do about this? The 24th chapter of Matthew is very clear about this. It says, "Be ye also ready. For in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. And when then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat," the gospel, "in due season. Blessed is the servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing." Those who gather here today are part of the living church, accepting his gospel and witnessing these ordinations. These ordinations so established by authority from God through his Son and confirmed by the Holy Spirit. They witness together of the truth. Pray and rejoice in these precious times that we have. We are blessed to have these times together. Let that be your daily prayer. Amen. Thank you.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, into Thy great and glorious presence we enter now. And we come, Father, with thankful hearts. Grateful, Lord, for the glorious and beautiful day that You have prepared for us now. Grateful, Father, for the wonderful, beautiful souls that You have drawn together this day and this hour. Grateful, Father, for the gift of forgiveness that You have granted us. For we are fully aware that we stand in great need of that forgiveness. We're grateful also, Father, for this beautiful ordinance, this powerful ordinance, in which we are each and every one about to participate. We're grateful for the men those that You have prepared through years of diligence and hard work. We're thankful, Father, that You are about to place upon them the mantle of servitude. We're grateful, Father, that they are about to be absorbed into the eternal stream of the gloriousness of the Melchizedek priesthood. We thank You, Father, for all these things. And it is our prayer that all that we do and say this day might bring naught but honor and glory unto Thee. And we pray it in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen.
Good morning. As I prepared this week for the offertory, I prayed and I asked what the Lord would have me bring. And the widow's mite came to mind immediately, and I thought, well, surely that's something that's used all the time. Why use that? And I soon realized that it wasn't the fact that the widow threw in everything she had that I was being prompted to bring before you for consideration, but it was the preparation. Now perhaps the widow did just come in and throw all that she had in the collection. It's completely possible. I don't know. But wouldn't it also be probable that she had to prepare to come in and give all that she had? Wouldn't it make sense that she throughout the week saved all that she had, that she used the things that were given her wisely in a life of preparation? I think the stewardship that we have over our physical beings is very important. I think that our preparation starts there, and it leads into our spiritual preparation, which is also equally important. So ultimately, I think the widow's mite comes down to one of giving, obviously, and full dedication to the Lord, but also one of full preparation. Shall we pray? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Lord, we pray that the money tithed and given today would be used wisely for Your purposes. We also ask that we can that You would help us prepare our lives, that we may use them in service to You in any way, both physically and spiritually. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I have three verses of scripture I desire to bring forth this morning and to stimulate our thoughts. First one is from Isaiah, the 11th chapter, the 18th verse. And it came to pass that none received authority to preach or to teach, except it be by him from God. Then in Helaman 2, verse 80, and it came to pass that Nephi and Lehi did preach unto the Lamanites with such great power and authority, for they had power and authority given unto them that they might speak. And they also had what they should speak given unto them. And then out of Helaman 2, verse 123. And many did preach with exceeding great power and authority, and to bringing down many of them into the depths of humility, to be the humble followers of God and the Lamb. Where does this power and authority come from, reading the scriptures that we just read? You know, when Christ was teaching in the temple, he was asked by what power and authority that he was preaching. And many times, maybe someone might ask you, by what power and authority do you come to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ? I know men that love the Lord, and they want to serve the Lord, and yet they do in the best of their understanding. And yet the power and authority which comes from on high is not with them. And when you sit under the power and authority of Jesus Christ, you feel and know from whence it comes. Hebrews 5:4 says, "And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God." I found in my studies some writings that I'd never before read. And I want to share a few of those thoughts which was given in that which has to do with priesthood, which has to do from whence this power and authority comes. It says, "And priesthood is the power of God operating in men chosen of Him, ordained and set apart according to the provisions of His law, for the ministering of His gospel of salvation to mankind in word and in ordinance." This priesthood or power carries with it the authority to act in Christ's stead by faith in Him. In any and all matters which are expedient according to His will. Section 17 of our Doctrine and Covenants, verse 12. "And every priest or every elder, priest, teacher, or deacon is to be ordained according to the gifts and callings of God unto him. And he is to be ordained by the power of the Holy Ghost, which is in the one who ordains him." I know my brethren at this time feel somewhat inadequate. The task that the Lord has asked them to do and the gifts and calling of God I should have known Mike for a lot longer than I did. I've probably met him at times in early years in Woodbine District. But I've got to know him a lot closer since we've started attending here at the Buckner Restoration Branch. And every time that I see him interacting with the saints, every time I talk to him, and every time that I said, under his ministry, I see one of the greatest gifts that God has to give to mankind. And Mike, that is the gift of humility. I see in you a humility like I see in not many others. And because of that gift of humility which is yours, and the way which you share it, you'll be able to do much good and reach the hearts of many people, which few can reach. And Tony, from a very young age, you have been given the gift of discerning right from wrong and that which is truth. I've seen you exercise it, being as a master, not being a respecter of persons or catering to one side or the other, but operating in that which you know to be just and true. Likewise, that gift will aid you in your ministry from this day forth, as it has in the past. You might feel somewhat inadequate. And you might feel that you don't know enough. And we all realize that we don't know enough about the Lord Jesus Christ. But I found a saying last night. In some material I had on actually preparing you for selling. And the quote goes like this: people don't care what you know until they know that you care. And this, the people of this congregation and those that you'll reach out to, must see in your lives that you genuinely care for their well-being. And the Lord will add to the fruits of your labors and your wives, though they've sacrificed from time to time when you go out, have priesthood meetings, go home visiting. They'll yet have to come to another understanding of the sacrifice that will be made, that they will have to make. When you get called out in the middle of the night to go to minister someone in need, and I remember my father telling about a time when he got called in the middle of the night, and there was not another elder around, and so he woke my mother up. And he said, will you go with me to this house where he was going, that we might avoid the appearance of evil? And so she graciously went with him. And I also have experienced that in my life when I had asked my wife to go with me one night. But because of that, she had a testimony of the love of God in the lives of an individual. Got a perspective on the love that each of us must have for our fellow men. In our Doctrine and Covenants. And this greater priesthood, the Melchizedek priesthood, administered the gospel, and this greater priesthood administereth the gospel and holdeth the keys to the mysteries of the kingdom, even the keys, the key of the knowledge of God. Therefore, in the ordinances thereof, the power of godliness is manifest, and without the ordinances thereof, and the authority of the priesthood, the power of godliness is not manifest unto men in the flesh. For without this, no man can see the face of God, even the Father, and live. Think about the times in each of your lives when you sat under the ministry of the ordinances of your God. That Spirit which was made manifest unto you at that time, when you humbled yourself before Him, that you might receive of Him. While the power of priesthood is extended to men, Christ remains a great high priest, He being the perpetual source from which man is constantly supplied. Notwithstanding, this priesthood is conveyed by the ordination through the laying on of hands. It comes not merely by the will of man, but by the will of God. The Lord says that ordination is by the power of the Holy Ghost, which is in the one who ordains him. Several times the Scriptures speak of men who have been ordained. As having been ordained of God, we also read, it was delivered unto men by the calling of His own voice, and not of man, and the priesthood is His to give. I don't know how many of you in this room have been presiding elders before in a branch. I know there are many. And whether you that have not recognize the responsibility that which is laid upon them, as the windows of heaven are open unto them, I'd been a pastor of a congregation for 12 years. I went a number of years and never received what I felt was sufficient to make a priesthood call. And I've had brothers and sisters come up to me, and I feel that brother so-and-so has a calling to this office, to that office. But you realize that in the priesthood call, there are three things that you must understand. One, the person who should be called. to the office in which that person should be called to. And three, the timing of that office in their lives. I had a sister come up to me, and she'd been in another congregation, and there was a couple young boys in their late teens, early 20s, that had been called to office of deacons. And she come up to me and said, "Well, why don't we have some of these young men in our congregation?" Being called to the priesthood. And I knew what she was referring to. She was referring to her two sons. And I took this sister aside and quietly said to her, "Are your sons as close to the Lord now as they were 6 months ago?" She looked at me and said, "No." I says, "Well, maybe that's why they haven't been yet called." And so I went on for a few years. And then one morning when I was reading my scriptures, and it was talking, I think it was section 50, that a brother should be baptized and ordained. And immediately I saw in our congregation a man that sit in the, I think, third pew on this side every Sunday. Not a member of our member of this church. And the Lord let me know that the day that he was baptized would be the day that he'd be called to the office of the elder in his church, that he might share the gospel with those he came in contact with. And then he gave me the name of another young lad to the office of priest. And I guarantee you, brothers and sisters, when a call comes from God, you know without a shadow of a doubt by what authority that call is being made. And it is not of men. It is not because, "Well, I think this person has the potential." It is not because, "Well, this person is a nice person." But it is because the Lord Jesus Christ desires that person to step into His ministry and function under the power and the authority of that priesthood which he is called, that he might bring souls to Christ. The essential nature of priesthood is shown in the parable of the vine. Jesus said to his apostles, "I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing." And believe you me, brothers and sisters, you recognize when the Spirit of the Lord is not with you. And you realize that you can do nothing in His stead. The life which flows in the branches is the life of the vine. Likewise, the spiritual life flows through the men of the priesthood to the people is the life of Christ. It is this life It is this life in the servant of Christ that makes the living stone a spiritual home, as Peter says. It is only by the living priesthood that the fruitage desired by Christ is produced. In the life of these things, it is apparent that priesthood is the life of Christ indwelling in men and operating through Him to quicken the quickening of all men, as many as will, for their eternal salvation. Priesthood is Christ's provision, whereby He establishes and maintains contact and communicates between Himself and man. It is a Jacob's ladder connecting the heaven and the earth, whereupon angels ascend and descend, with the Lord standing at the top, speaking to the man at the bottom. By it He reveals His person, His personality, His will, His truth, His law, even all things which are essential for man to know. Priesthood, as symbolized by the vine and its branches, carries authority to officiate in whatsoever work the Lord requires. According to the light and power the Lord supplies, under the priesthood, the Lord is obliged to give this light and power and other needful blessings subject to the servant's worthiness. And the servant has need to hold himself respective and worthy, as also to wisely use such blessings when given. It is thus that his authority becomes real and effective. This priesthood which you men have been called to entitles you to these things. And the power and authority of the higher Melchizedek priesthood is to hold the keys of all spiritual blessings of the church, to have the privileges of receiving the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, to have the heavens open unto them, to commune with a general assembly of the church of the firstborn, and to enjoy the communion and presence of God the Father and Jesus the Mediator of the new covenant. In church history, volume 1, I didn't write down where it is, but it's a quote out of Times and Seasons, volume 5 and page 416. It was on the 6th of June, and there was a number of elders in the early church that gathered together at Kirtland. And it says, "The Lord displayed His power in a manner that could not be mistaken. The man of sin was revealed, and authority of the Melchizedek priesthood was manifest and conferred for the first time upon several of the elders." And listen closely, my brother. "It was clearly evident that the Lord gave us power in proportion to the work to be done, and strengthened according to the race which was set before us, and grace and help as our needs required. You're not walking alone on this walk, but you're walking with the Master in every step of the way in which you go. Mike, I thought last night upon your heritage in this church. And I don't know how all of your family tree goes, but I know that I met a few times your grandfather, Brother Francis Sr. And I know how highly he was upheld amongst the saints in the Woodbine district. And the work which he did as he went around to the congregations and shared in that ministry, the work of the church. You too will give that kind of ministry to the needs of the people according to your office, to uplift and bring souls to Christ as he did. He has set a beautiful example, as well as those others around you, of what the ministry and the privilege and the authority of priesthood is. As a young boy, I used to sit in the back of the Persia Iowa branch in my late teens, early 20s. And on a rostrum was four chairs. And in those chairs sat four elders. And I can picture it just as clearly as a day when I sat in the back row. And the ministry which those four elders gave into that branch and into the Woodbine district and I'm grateful for the ministry of the elders. I'm grateful that the elders went to my grandfather's house, to a crippled man in a wheelchair, and shared the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm grateful that he found it important enough that he had his children baptized. And received the Holy Ghost. And I'm grateful for the power of the Holy Ghost as it manifests itself in the life of my dad, an orphan. And how it led him along from time to time until he was one of those men that sat on that rostrum in Persia, Iowa. An elder in the Church of Reorganized Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And this heritage he passed on to his three sons. And this heritage, Tony. Though we can't be here today, because the Lord has called him home, is passed on to you. An example he set forth for you. You see, the Lord loves his people so much that he finds just men willing to serve, willing to trust and exercise faith and do his bidding. The responsibility passes from one generation to another. And as I sat in that back row and thought that those men would be there to give the ministry that I would need for the rest of my life, three of them now have passed away. The other one I had lost contact with. And I realize that as I look around and see the age of many of my brethren, realize that this church of Jesus Christ, which he has established upon this earth, will not be left alone, but that he calls men into his service in these last days to share according to the gifts and talents which are theirs to give under the direction of his Spirit. Let us look to an example that has been placed before each of us in the Book of Mormon. As you contemplate that which is about to take forth to your ordinations to this high priesthood, the office of elder. And now these sons of Mosiah were with him at the time the angel first appeared unto him. Therefore Alma did rejoice to see his brethren, and what added more to his joy, they were still his brethren in the Lord. Yea, and they had waxed strong in the knowledge of truth. For they were men of sound understanding, and they had searched the Scripture diligently, that they might know the Word of God. But this is not all. They had given themselves to much prayer and fasting. Therefore they had the spirit of prophecy, the spirit of revelation, and when they taught with a power and authority, even as with the power and authority of God. If you, my brethren, take this example to heart and exercise the things which they exercised in their life, those same privileges, those same gifts will be manifest through you in your ministry. Yea, by the power of their words, many were brought before the altar of God to call on His name and confess their sins before Him. Latter-day Revelation, my brother. The hastening time is here, and greater unity than ever before is necessary if the forces of opposition are to be met. And such unity will prevail if those holding the priesthood will remember their commission to preach the gospel, and each officer will strive to discharge his own duty and magnify his calling. And a promise has been given that no power shall stay the hand of God in accomplishment of His purpose among His people. And as the church shall move forward in this great work, the fulfillment of prophecy may cause the saints to tremble at the exhibition of the divine power. Yet they shall rejoice in the protection of His grace. May the Lord's work in this dispensation continue with you and your brethren of the priesthood into whatever office they have been called, that the perfecting of the saints might go forward, that we as a body of the Church of Jesus Christ might become sanctified and be part and fit for His kingdom, is my prayer.
Ordination symbolizes the outstretched hands of God, conferring power and authority to represent Him and the Church. Mike Moores will be ordained to the office of elder by High Priest Francis Harper and Elder Bob Gilbert.
Our Heavenly Father, we do rejoice today in having this opportunity to participate in this ordinance by which the power of godliness is made manifest. We thank You for Mike and his life. And it could be said of him that, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Been faithful over a few things, and I have greater things for You to do. We're thankful, Lord, that You have worked in the life of Mike, and although he has faced the common adversities of man, he has remained faithful and true to You. And that You can place this greater responsibility and trust upon him at this time. We know, God, that You will not leave him alone, that You will direct his steps and bless him. It's a wonderful thing to be given a task by You, our Heavenly Father. The joy there is of being able to work with You. and feel the presence and power of the Holy Spirit that comes in a time of need. When we tackle tasks that are way beyond us, we know we have to rely upon you. We can trust you. And so it is with joy that we come today and pray for Mike and participate here. We thank you, Lord, that you've restored the priesthood, not of man, but of heaven. The ordinances that Mike will perform will not be of him, but will it be of heaven. We pray, Lord, that you'll give Mike a testimony that the things he is called upon to do are possible with your help. We pray, Lord, that you'll give him the humility and love that he has seen personified and embodied in the life of Jesus, your Son. And he goes as a priesthood of the Melchizedek order, as the priesthood of Jesus Christ. And we pray that his love will reach out to people, even as the love was expressed in the life of Jesus. Give him joy in his work. Let him feel the power of the Holy Ghost and the assurance that what he is doing, it's of you. Lord, we don't take this ordination lightly. We know that even at a young age, Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. No greater challenge that can be given to man than to serve you, our Heavenly Father. And so, Mike, as elders who have the authority to lay our hands upon your head today, we ordain you to the Melchizedek priesthood. May you go forth in the power resident in that authority that you will have as you lay your hands upon others. Impart the blessings to those that you meet. Make a contribution to every person that you meet in your life pathway. Oh Lord, we thank you that we can bestow this responsibility upon our brother's head. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Ordination implies the acceptance of responsibility to be a servant and to become a leader of all in holiness and in all good works. Tony Brown will be ordained to the office of elder by Elder Steve Willey and Elder Bob Gilbert.
Our Heavenly Father, we trust that the angels in heaven could record such a scene as this, the ordination of one who has come to know Thee and love Thee through the trials and the vicissitudes of life, known to Thee as Tony Brown. We pray, our Heavenly Father, that Thou would bless him in his added responsibility of counselor, as father, and even as a father to the church. We pray a special blessing, our Heavenly Father, that Thy Spirit might come and rest in his heart, that it might give him direction and understanding of that which he needs to do for the sake of Thy people. Thou hast blessed him in his youth with the gift of discernment, among other gifts. And we pray, our Heavenly Father, that Thou would bless him with an added portion of the gift of discernment, that he might look into the hearts of the people and see their need and assist Thee in bringing them unto Thee. We ordain him to the Melchizedek priesthood, that of the eldership of the church. We pray, our Heavenly Father, that there might be love that rules in his heart, and as he has been counseled in recent years, that he might discharge his responsibility in loving kindness to the people, that Thy name might be glorified and Thy people edified. Look down upon this scene, our Heavenly Father, as Thou hast seen from the very beginning, and bless him and bless his companion and his family, that they may know that their husband and father needs to be about his father's business as well as tending to his family duties. We are aware that he has been concerned that being called to the Melchizedek priesthood would relieve him of the calling of angels as given to the Aaronic priesthood. May he know that he must continue to call for the administering of angels. We pray that this might be his lot. Dear God, bless him. May he be blessed with understanding, with the gift of wisdom, with the gift of knowledge, and from time to time endow him in his mind, that he might know what Thy will is for himself and for the people. We ask, our Heavenly Father, that Thy great Spirit might permeate this room even now, that he might know of the source of this blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Has indeed been a strong spirit in this place, this hour, a spirit of confirmation of this call and a spirit of confirmation of the authority that has been expressed in the willingness of these men to serve in their new assignments. We are so blessed by this moment. In our closing hymn today, which is familiar to all of us, we know that with the help of all priesthood, we can prepare for that hour of redemption that is promised to us in these latter days. We'll turn in our hymnals to 201 and have our closing hymn.
Our Heavenly Father, the call has gone forth, Father, to send us men to labor in this part of your vineyard, men to guide and lead thy church, to serve thy people. And we are so thankful, Father, that in this latter day you continue to reveal yourself to us, that you answer this call, that you have answered this call this day, Father. We pray that you would magnify the calling of these men as they would join together as watchmen in Zion. We pray that you would always lead them with your spirit, that they always might be guided by it. And we pray, Father, that this day all that has been said and done will be to thy honor and glory. Father, we are so thankful. We're so thankful for your Son. And we are praying in his name, Father, that we would be guided safely to our homes and that you would keep us, Father, until we can meet again. And we ask these things, Father, in the name of thy blessed Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.